Good morning, saints. And good morning, sinners. I invite you to take your Bible and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, beginning with verse 18, as we continue our theme, the eve of the revolution. It has been our contention in this series on the cross, in light of the Lenten season, that the cross of Jesus Christ inaugurated, it began a new age, and that is the age in which Christ decisively came into history, and from that point on, it has been radically changed. I invite you to stand now for the reading of the Word of God. Hear now from the Apostle Paul as he writes to the church at Corinth, a troubled church, a divided church. And here is what he says. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greek, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Now notice, this is what he said the cross is. It is the power of God, and it is the wisdom of God. Now, I want you to think, are you this morning in the midst of a life decision? A life decision. Are you in college and wondering, which way do I cast my life? If you're here today and you know that your marriage could be better, and you wonder how you get there, and perhaps you've been to every marriage conference and read every self-help book, but something is missing, and you awake and discover you've only scratched the surface because you've not gone to the root of the cause that can change your life, I maintain today that the cross is the power of God, it is the wisdom of God, and it'll change your life wherever you are. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. And the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Almighty God, just Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, in this sermon, if you're planning to take notes, which I hope you do, there's a space provided for you in the bulletin. I'm going to take a while to get to the main point. Not that long, but there's one point, and then I'm going to explain it with another verse from Holy Scripture. So here we go. In the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, Paul begins in the usual way. He begins by a thanksgiving. But then he turns the corner and in verse 10 he says this, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you. Already by AD 55, when this book was written, there were tumultuous divisions within the church. Now, Paul had gotten word from Chloe's household that there were quarrels within the Corinthian church. So here is this woman named Chloe. She opens her home for believers to come in, and that's how we started. We did not start out in this. We started out in homes. And a woman's home is the first one that Paul cites. And he said, here is what Chloe's household is telling me. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another says, I follow Apollos. Another says, I follow Cephas. And then others, especially the super spiritual, say, I follow Christ. Now, we think possibly that there could be numerous house churches in Corinth. Perhaps there was one household that centered on Paul, another household centered on Cephas, and another centered on Christ. You get the direction I'm going. And each one of them was claiming superiority. And then Paul asked this question, is Christ divided? That's the question. Is Christ divided? So this book, early on, lets us know that it is dealing with a contentious situation. Sound familiar to your life? Then Paul immediately gives a wake-up call. He says this, and please listen closely. The message of the cross, Paul says, divides all of humanity in two. In two. T-W-O. Those who are perishing is one group, and those who are being saved. Now Paul is heading somewhere. He wants to know you're quarreling. You're dividing? Wake up! Two groups of people, those who are perishing. And notice what he says about those who are in Christ. They are being saved. He doesn't say you are saved and that's it. He said you are in the process of salvation. You have not arrived yet. Please keep in mind that when we give our heart and life and mind to Jesus Christ, we have not arrived. There is still the process of what we call sanctification, of growing in Jesus Christ. So, for those who are perishing, Paul says, the message of the cross is foolish. For those who are being saved, the message of the cross is the power of God. Now, immediately, Paul seems to digress in the text. He's talked about what is central, the cross, but then he talks about the futility of human wisdom. He says this, has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Now, keep in mind, a divided church who's probably discussing their differences in worldly ways. Or, if you have trouble in marriage, could you be seeking resolution in a worldly way instead of a godly way? If you're having trouble to know what direction to go in life, could it be you've soaked up so much human wisdom that you've neglected godly wisdom? So this is an important digression. Now, in verse 19, he gives a direct quote from Isaiah 29:14. Let me put that quote in a context. For Paul is trying to say here, human futility, using human wisdom, dates way back and continues into the present. And he gives an illustration. He says, in this quote given in verse 19 from Isaiah 29:14, the prophet Isaiah has just offered a judgment against the nation of Judah on behalf of God. Judah's political leaders were trusting in their own wise and realistic ways of dealing with a situation that was confronting them. And they thought, if we've got an enemy who's wanting to attack us, and we align our powers with Egypt, then that makes rational sense that we can then be victorious in battle. There was just one thing wrong with that line of thinking. It may have been logical. It may have looked right and added up on paper, but it was not God's way of doing things. So, our quote says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligent of the intelligent, I will frustrate. Then Paul continues. He says, neither does the cross make sense in his present context, specifically to either the Jews or the Gentiles. Now, go deep with me. The cross, he writes, is a stumbling block to the Jews and it's foolishness to the Gentiles. Now, for 16 centuries, we have looked upon the cross as something beautiful. We hang crosses around our necks. We buy covers for our Bibles that have crosses on them. We wear logos on our t-shirts. We stain and varnish, and it looks so very beautiful. But we cannot fathom how in the first century AD, the very mention of the word cross, the very reality of the cross, spoke of unspeakable horror and loathing. In fact, if you were a Roman, you were not allowed to say the word cross in polite company. To the Jews, they could not fathom that a Messiah would end his life on the cross. You see, that was the death of violent criminals. And they even had scripture to back up their claim. Their own law says, cursed is the man who hangs on the tree. They never dreamed of a suffering Messiah, even with Isaiah 53 before their eyes. And for the Gentiles, a God who felt anything, for the God was apathia. He was without feeling. For if a God felt for us, it lowered him to our level. So a very God who could suffer was a contradiction in terms. Moreover, for the Gentiles who valued sophistry and wise talk and able to string together words in syllogistic ways that would wow you, and they would hear speakers talk about the cross in blunt, forthright ways, they would say, that's unsophisticated. They're not knowledgeable. They're not at our level. Now let me take it to the 21st century. One very popular preacher recently explained his approach in the following way. You cannot succeed by preaching the cross. People don't want to hear that. They already have enough problems. So many situations, we hear more about self-help than we do about God. You see, the cross does what one person called a transvaluation of values. In other words, when the cross gets hold of you, it changes your value system. What you thought was important is no longer receiving priority. Now, here, Paul says, is wisdom. And here is the main and only point of this sermon. Jesus Christ crucified is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Let me repeat that. Jesus Christ crucified is the power of God and is the wisdom of God for your marriages, for your life choices, for anything you're facing. The cross of Jesus Christ is the answer. Now, in Paul's day, how could the message of the cross ever win acceptance? Especially in that Greco-Roman world that I just described. Very simply. Because it is the power and wisdom of God, and that will prevail. And as Paul says elsewhere, only the power of the Holy Spirit can make the power of the cross, the power of the cross, real to you. For otherwise, it seems foolish. It seems nonsensical. But this is the way to the transformation of the world. You see, Paul says, especially in Romans, that the preaching of the cross changes lives. And he says here that it's through the foolishness of the preaching of the cross that lives are changed. And he also says in 1 Corinthians that it's through the cross that a new day has dawned. Check out 1 Corinthians 10:11. The culmination of the ages is in the cross of Jesus Christ. I tell you, the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Now, let me draw this to conclusion. If you listen to the funeral of Billy Graham, you were blessed. I have it recorded and I'm on my third time through. I also listened in part to the graveside services that Dr. Don Wilton presided over. And he said, in the home, the house of Billy Graham, there was one passage of scripture found in several of the rooms. Please write this down. Galatians 6:14, here it is. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world was crucified to me and I to the world. Let me repeat that. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. What Paul is saying here is that the cross of Jesus Christ is his solitary, his only ground of boasting. In light of that, this demands a radical reassessment of everything in life. For the one who makes the cross his or her supreme solitary ground of boasting, all of the accepted standards of social life are necessarily turned upside down. For example, in recent days, I have talked to some young people, and one in particular got next to me. I learned from his parents that he feels less than his peers. Do you know why? Because when he walks into school, he doesn't have name brand clothing. And so this is his demeanor. It's as if he doesn't match up in his eyes. And you see, the cross says, that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. Paul says in this verse, that phrase, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world, he said the cross is the barrier from which the world is shielded from us. Now, that doesn't mean the world in the sense of people. Paul's use of the word world, cosmos, we get our word cosmological, means those spiritual realities that separate us from God. Many times they do flow through other people to us. But the cross is the barrier between us and the world, between us and the world, that keeps us from adopting the ways and means of how the world judges success. Secondly, that phrase, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world, also means this, that when I look out upon the world, I look through the eyes of the cross. And when I don't, I get into trouble. I get into trouble. Now, how would we reframe our conversations on gun safety if we look through the eyes of the cross? How would we address radical issues that are facing us morally, like LGBTQ, if we looked through the eyes of the cross instead of adopting the ways of the world in addressing difficult subjects? How would it be if with your mate, you looked at her or you looked at him through the eyes of the cross and you saw them as Jesus would see them? How about in school when someone doesn't wear designer clothing, can't speak and use words appropriately, looks like they're on the outside? How about if you looked at them through the eyes of the cross instead of adopting the ways of the world? That's what this verse means. May I never boast in anything other than the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. This past Friday, Carol Jo Baumgartner invited Rick and me over to McKissick Elementary. We were there with a host of other leaders in the community. And would you believe what class they gave me? They gave me the special needs class. I walked in, here's what I got. One of the assistants whispered to me, "Would you come back?" She said, "So many are not used to a male influence." Do you realize right now that if you go through training at the Y, you can be put into a school as a mentor? Would you consider going into our school system? With the cross before you and looking at each of these children through the eyes of Jesus Christ. You can do that. I can do that. This past week, it impressed upon me that we're on holy ground coming up March the 24th from 2 to 4 p.m. March the 24th, 2 to 4 p.m. Please write that down. We are inviting all of Easley and their children to come to Popeville for an Easter egg hunt. They will come for candy. They will leave with Jesus. The teachers tell me, if you only knew about our home situations. The police tell me in confidential conversations, if you knew what was in Easley, you would double lock and triple lock your doors. It is not time to retreat. It is time to walk out with the cross before us, our barrier to confront the evilness before us, and to give people Jesus Christ. This past week, I had the joy of waking up on Monday morning to a text on my phone. It was Angela Nally. This was before school started. Monday, the most hideous day of the week in some ways. And here is what Angela told me. Our little G has invited Jesus Christ into her heart. And we had the joy as parents to lead her to Jesus Christ. When we met this week, I went over the plan of salvation again just to make sure. I didn't have any doubts, but I don't look as a person who accepts Christ as a number to report to our association. I want to make sure that they totally understand. When little G walked into the office, she had a big G smile. I learned that on Sunday night, she came into her mom and dad's room and said, "I'm ready to accept Christ." Do you know where this began? It began with many of you, because you taught her. You taught her, you poured life into her, and she has parents and grandparents who gave her Christ. She began conversations several years ago with our Judy Frost. She continued them with her parents. She came to see me during the interim time. But on Sunday night, she came and said, "Just give me, Jesus." I'm going to tell you this. If you're a guest with us here today, if you will give us your child and you will invest in our ministry, we will teach them how to sing the songs of Jesus Christ. We will teach them in small group ministry every Sunday morning, and we will teach them in missions as well, and they will experience a multi-generational church who will love Jesus into them. Now today, I want to ask you, Have you met the one who hung on this cross? You see, this cross comes from First Baptist Church, Charleston. A church that was founded 1819 to 1822 by Richard Furman, the founder of Furman. In 1989, September, Hugo came through Charleston and decimated the building of First Baptist Charleston. When Dr. Pitts was there, he took old wood that had been destroyed. He loaded it up, brought it back, and look what has come out of this. The oldest Baptist church in the South, torn and destroyed, now remade into a cross. That's what Jesus Christ can do to your life. You think it's over? He said, trust me, the best is yet to come. I want to ask you as we come to our invitation hymn today that you take Jesus at his word. Come to me. I will make all things new in your life. I will give you a new beginning. I will breathe new life into you. I want to ask every believer to pray because we're not going to extend this invitation long, but I tell you, here is the answer to your marriage problems. Here is the answer to your career choices. Here is the answer to life itself, to adopt the way of the cross and to follow Jesus through it. And then at the end, you will hear what Billy Graham heard on February the 21st, 2018. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your eternal home. Anybody want that? Anybody want that? Then come by way of the cross. Come by way of the cross of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Almighty God, precious Lord and tender Spirit, consumed by the cross, only you could take something, oh God, that was hideous, despised, unspoken, untreasured, and turn it into a symbol of victory. And Lord, you can take worn out lives where we've made a mess of our lives, and Satan whispers into our ear, it's over. Just keep on doing what you're doing. And you're saying, oh no, I did not go to that cross for nothing. I say, oh God, just give us Jesus right now. Rest upon us so powerfully. Rest upon us. Do a work in our lives, Lord. Do a work in each of our lives, beginning with me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is 484, The Old Rugged Cross. As God so leads you to respond to this invitation, to pray, to take my hand, and to talk with me about whatever. I'm one broken person, broken, incomplete, a sinner through and through. But I need you, and you need me. We need each other, and we need God. That's what the purpose of this invitation is. We're all in this together. Come without a moment's hesitation.